Welcome to today's episode of the Zach Adams Effect here on Decentralized TV. I'm Mike Adams of the Adams, and then we have Zach Voorhees, who is the Zach, and joined by Todd Pittner, who gave us the name Zach Adams Effect. So welcome, both of you. How are you doing today?
Great.
Fantastic.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. Okay, well, Zach, time is short. Lots of things are happening. Can we start with the fact that, you know, last week you said that seems like OpenAI, maybe some other companies are kind of setting up sandbox scenarios where they know that their models are going to, quote, escape. And, you know, because they're going to use the internet to try to find the answers, to try to do this and that. And then there's all this buzz in the press. Oh, my God, the models escaped. And they're going to, like, you and I both think that that's bullshit, right? But I think, right? Is that where you're coming from on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? The rest of the internet is starting to pick up on that, too. We were pretty much the first ones to call this out.
Okay, tell me more. What you're seeing a lot of prominent influencers in the space figuring this out?
Oh, yeah, so basically Theo's not going for this. He's like one of the big, he's a pro AI guy. There's another guy by the name of the Primogen. He started off anti-AI. Now he's kind of drifting towards, hey, AI is actually useful. He came out here yesterday and, well, not here, but like on the internet, on YouTube, and went into a rant about how none of this is believable. He's got kids. And what the kids like to do is that when one kid is like, oh, my shoulder hurts. And then the other kid's like, oh, my shoulder hurts too. In fact, both my shoulders hurt. And that's exactly what we see going on right now with these AI companies. First, OpenAI came out and said, oh, it escaped and started hacking the internet. Then Anthropic's like, hey, wait a minute. Our AIs will hack the internet too. And then the third party tester that, you know, later came out and clarified that, oops, they had left on the whole internet, which is ridiculous. I mean, all you got to do to contain these things is disable the network card or not even yeah, have a network card, right? Like air gap it. If they had escaped an air gap system, that would be one thing. That would be Stuxnet, like, you know, escapism. But that's not what we saw here. They all had access to the internet. They're all contained under one layer. They should be contained under four layers. They should be completely air-gapped. And if they need to access the internet, then they should be given internet through a very specifically controlled and monitored proxy.
Right.
And the idea that none of this is happening is total BS. No one's buying it except for Congress, right? Like, you've got Congress coming out and saying, oh, well, tell us more about how these things are hacked. So we're in a PSYOP. The government is falling for it. And what we're going to see is we're seeing the beginning of a new regulation play by these open AIs, which is like, oh, we're so dangerous, we need to be doing it. In fact, Meta this week decided that they were going to get into it too. In fact, they said that they accessed the internet. And then after that, Anthropic doubled down and said that one of their models was trying to, well, actually two models were trying to backdoor an open source repository and encode a hidden payload that was, it's called bin 64. Basically it's the closest you can get to binary data by using the characters of the alphabet.
Oh, wow.
And what they do is that they put the payload in there. It's not human readable, but they ingest it, convert it into the actual code, and then evaluate that. And what happened is that they tried to do that, and then another AI came in and vouched for them. And the open source contributor said, yeah, I'm not falling for this, and wouldn't merge it.
Right.
And then in our last one, we have hackers that broke into a bunch of Wall Street hedge funds and attempted to get money. It's unclear whether the attack was successful or not, But what they did is that they did voice cloning technology and tried to impersonate the employees in order for another employee to say, sure, yeah, here's your access code, bon appetit. So,
right,
we, you know, basically right now we're in the season of everybody that, you know, all these cartels are trying to get into the action of who can, you know, basically, oopsie, we hacked the internet the hardest.
Okay, but what really stands out to me about this is that I'm not aware of any open source or open weights labs that are talking about these scare stories. Like the open weights models seem to be really safe, whereas the frontier models from Anthropic and OpenAI are the ones that they're ranting about how dangerous they are. We're so dangerous, like, you know, regulate me harder, daddy, you know, like that's the whole attitude from Anthropic. But the open weights models are safe. They don't do this. It's like you said, just pull the freaking plug. I mean, it's a cable. It's a Cat 6 cable. Pull the cable out, for God's sake. I mean, it's hard enough getting network cards to work reliably all the time, you know?
Right? Or run it in a Docker VM.
Yeah, right. Like, right. Like just containerize that sucker.
Yeah, this whole like sandboxing of applications so they don't do things you don't want to do is standard engineering practices.
And they're absolutely trying
to, like, oh, it escaped. It didn't even hack the system. It just opened the open door of the internet and went out and started accessing these systems.
It's like, you know, I have HTTP access. Oh, okay. Let's use that. I mean, right, Todd? I mean, if you tell AI, like, solve this problem, here's a bunch of tools and here's the internet. And then it uses the internet. You're like, oh my God, it used the internet. You know, like, what is this?
Next thing you know, your shoulder hurts. Guys. Hey, Zach, it seems that AI is improving so fast that AI state of the art now has a shelf life of potato salad. At what point do traditional AI benchmarks become meaningless because capability is increasing faster than we can measure it?
Well, you know, benchmarks definitely have their problems. Like, I came on this show and said that Kimi K3 was like beating everybody else, but then the real world, you know, came out and said, actually it does it in four times as many steps. And so, you know, there is always that delta between the benchmark and what real world performance actually looks like. But, you know, it does measure something, and it does seem to at least line up with ordering models in terms of what's better than which, for the most part. I think that these open source models are going to get rapidly better. You know, as of last week, you couldn't even run one of these giant 36 gigabyte models without, you know, a $15,000 graphics card. And now just this week, somebody was able to get it running on a computer with 4 gigabytes of RAM. Mm. Now, instead of tokens per second, it was seconds per token. Right?
I saw
it
was that. Like that was 33 seconds per token or something.
No, 300. It was like 300 plus seconds per token.
Oh my God.
It ran on a 4 gigabyte card, right? But I do want to remind you that, you know, we all have to take the first step somewhere, and these things are going to get a lot faster.
Yeah.
Also, as the Doom creator, John Carmack noted, a lot of these access patterns for this AI is very sequential, and it doesn't need the random access memory in, you know, literally RAM.
True.
And that if these models are structured and optimized for these memory patterns, then you can see then basically what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to have, you know, a 32 gigabyte main memory system with a 2 terabyte drive to store, let's say, Kimi K3, and then be able to run it at a semi-decent speed without having to load up the entire model into memory. You know,
right, so, right. But those drives have to be NVMe. You don't want them to go through SATA. Right? You got to be NVMe. Correct. M2 sticks to get that kind of speed. That's critical. But by the way, over this last week, I now have DeepSeek version 4 Flash, the 0731 model, running on a Spark system, DGX Spark. And I mean, I'm like, I'm running DeepSeek here locally and finally using that NVIDIA box that I couldn't make work for a lot of other things. But I'm running DeepSeek, and that's running very well and pretty decent token speed output on that too. So I mean, I can't wait. I mean, Zach, think about when AMD comes out with their new unified platforms, like Gorgon Halo is coming out with first 192 gigs unified and then 256 unified. We're going to be able to run some pretty hefty models, even like Kemi K3, like super quanted down to maybe 1 or 2 bits. It'll fit, you know? It won't replace a data center like the clickbaiters claim, but it could be usable locally by one person, right?
Yeah, it will be. I mean, and, you know, what's interesting is that a lot of these high-end NVIDIA chips that are designed to run these things like really powerful, like really fast, the only difference between a data center card and something that you would stick in your PC is largely becoming the memory. You've got these hackers in China right now. They're taking these 16 gigabyte cards and they're soldering off the memory and they're sticking, you know, 48, 96 gigabytes of memory. Just they don't even care if it's not technically as fast as something in the data center. It almost becomes immaterial. It's all about the memory is the bottleneck right now. And what seems interesting to me is that NVIDIA is almost kind of pretending to be a compute company when in reality, they're just selling really expensive DDR5.
that's accurate. You're right.
Yeah.
Really expensive DDR5.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing is that, you know, NVIDIA is not moving towards any sort of a unified memory architecture where the CPU and the graphics card shares the same memory.
Right.
And the reason's really clear. As soon as people are able to share that memory between the CPU and the GPU without going through a bus system,
yep.
NVIDIA's going to lose all of their, like, how are they going to sell their A100s anymore? They're not. Well,
that's why NVIDIA crippled their own hardware a couple years ago and stopped their NVLink interconnection between multiple cards. They want you to force all your data through the PCIe bus that's super slow, right? They did that on purpose. They crippled their own hardware.
Right. And there's all these companies gunning for them. You've got Apple with their MLX chip. You've got AMD doing AI acceleration too. They've got these new boxes. Now AMD, classical CPU does not run these AI models very well, but they solve the bottleneck because they will sell you cheap memory, cheaper than NVIDIA is going to sell it to you. And so people are like, well, I can at least run these, you know, these large models without having to shell out, you know, $40,000.
Exactly. Okay. Let me ask you real quickly about the rumors of the water systems being hacked in America. And I've stated, I think it's bullshit. I think it's just some, you know, systems administrators at the water plants that mostly they're not very technical. They don't know what they're doing. They make a bunch of mistakes. They lost their password. They tried to log in. They screwed up the config file, whatever. So they blame hackers, right? It's like, oh, we got hacked. No, you lost your password, dumbass. That's what I think is happening. But I don't know. Maybe you have more information than I do. What do you think?
Look, I looked into this. Look, they don't know who did it, but they suspect that it was Iran.
Right? Yeah, right.
Absolutely no evidence, right? And the people that are reporting this are the people that like want to find any reason whatsoever to like get into a ground war in Iran.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have to basically, you know, have a little skepticism when it comes to taking their word on who did these power systems. And here's the second thing, okay? What military value does it have for Iran to hack our water systems?
Yeah, none. Like, none.
It's zero. It's a negative value. All it does is give America military the moral justification to go in and attack Iran. And it doesn't stop the production of, you know, the A100 or the Bradley tanks or the F-16s or the F-35. You know, it does nothing to that. In fact, it gives them the justification to do that. And so if Iran is going to do anything involving combat with the United States or any type of military action, they're not going to target the water systems of the civilians.
Well,
like, I'm
right,
sorry.
But the U.S. might target Iran's water systems, and then they could use this story as an excuse. Say, well, Iran attacked our water systems first with cyber attacks, and that's why we bombed their water systems. But anyway, I was thinking, Todd, hey, the next time the IRS asks you for any information, the answer is Iran hacked my spreadsheet.
Nice.
Iran hacked my spreadsheet. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best, but Iran hacked the shit out of all my numbers. I mean, it's like the dog ate my homework, right?
Well, I don't know. This war talk just makes me think of Lindsey Graham, and I don't miss him.
No one does.
I digress. Hey, Zach, when a data center and a neighborhood both need another megawatt, who gets priority, the citizens or the intelligence factory with a tax exemption?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, right? You know, here's the thing. What's interesting is that long term, with a lot of these data centers, the amount of power, the amount of power usage goes up. But I'm starting to hear reports that power prices are starting to go down because of all the excess supply that's coming online in anticipation for these buildings that are getting kind of slowed down by the building permits. And they're like, well, we got to sell all of this power anyways. There's a lot of people that have all of these negative opinions about data centers. Most of them are false. Like this, there's this whole thing like, oh, they're going to consume all this water. Yeah, they will one time for a day as they're filling up the closed system, coolant system. Right. And then after that, they don't use any water whatsoever. Yes, they will be using a lot more energy, but, I feel that, at first there's going to be supply crunch, but we can fill that in with oil, gasoline, petroleum products, solar panels. Like if you cover just 1% of the United States, I think it's like 1% in Nevada or something, you would be able to provide all the energy that you need for the entire United States.
Yeah, but you got to distribute it though. That's the problem, right?
No, not, I mean, kind I mean, of.
You but gotta you have to have transmission lines.
Just to the data center, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to have really solar deployed, all like really decentralized. It's got to be closer to the source because, you know, you lose voltage over distance. So, you know,
right.
I mean, they could just build a bunch of solar farms in the desert, but then how do you get all that energy out of the desert, right?
Right. Yeah. Obviously, we're not going to parcel out a 1% and then just have all the solar concentrated there. You know, but the thing is that you could have a data center and then you could have, let's say, 10 square kilometers of solar panels. And that could power that and, you know, the neighboring city. And then it's pretty much a solved problem, you know, more or less.
Let me bring this in because in Texas, we have our own power grid. And I became aware that the number of new connection requests for the Texas grid between now and I think the year 2032 would require the total annual aggregate power output of Texas to be tripled by that time to bring on all those requests. And even though Texas is a very energy rich state, we've got oil, we've got gas, but you don't have the turbines to turn gas into power. You don't have enough, you know, coal-fired power plants to turn coal into kilowatt hours, et cetera. Like, we can't build fast enough to keep up with those requests. So something's going to have to give.
Yeah. So my question is, are all those requests coming from the AI data center companies, or are they coming from all the Californians?
Well, it's a combination, but it's mostly the data centers. But they're not just AI data centers, right? There are other kinds of data centers, like just business, you know, running databases and whatever, AWS type stuff, right?
I mean, here's my question. Is the United States the only place where you can buy a gas turbine? Like, is China not creating this stuff? Can we not buy it from them or India?
Well, Russia's the best place, but we sanctioned the snot out of Russia, so we can't get any Russian turbines, you know? This is the problem. Right. And they are sold out everywhere else that U.S. can buy from. There's a 10-year wait time for the larger turbines. And the smaller ones got bought up already by the Zuckerbergs because they can put them together, you know, in series. Like 100-kilowatt turbine or whatever, just have a row of those running. So that's done. I've researched this, Zach. The turbines are gone for years. There's nothing out there. There's no supply available.
Well, I guess we're just going to lose to China then. And I don't think we're going to be that dumb. I feel like there's going to be something that we're going to be able to do, you know, where Trump's going to be like, oh, there's a, you know, Support Energy Independence Act. And then all of a sudden the whole red tape around those turbines will release. Because the thing is that, look, China's got twice as many electrons going through the power grid that we do. Soon it's going to be triple. The United States is going to either be destroyed or they're going to start arriving at some sort of semblance of parity. And I don't think the elites are evil, but I don't think that they're that dumb that they're just going to allow themselves to be destroyed. I don't know. Maybe the whole plan is that the United States is going to go down and, you know, our Asian neighbors are going to, you know, acquire the throne of globalism, and our grandchildren will be speaking Chinese. I think something's going to give. I think something's going to happen. I think that we'll be able to solve the bottlenecks involved with energy generation.
So, Zach, AI centers are rightly becoming a major political issue because voters increasingly fear that households will subsidize infrastructure built for the world's richest tech companies. So, Zach, will bring your own power become a practical requirement for developers of major AI data centers?
I mean, look, if they start squeezing everybody for power, then, you know, eventually solar becomes so attractive. I mean, it's already like this in California. My energy bill is like $500 for a flat that doesn't use any heat except for washing ourselves in the shower and cooking, right? It's like $500.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. And it's like, do you like at $1 a watt, I could buy a 500 watt system. And if I spend 2 months worth of what my normal energy bill would be, I would be able to be energy independent completely, at least for 8 hours out of the day. And so, you know, the only way that they're going to get everybody to pay for these data centers is if they say, well, we're going to jack up your rates and you are not allowed to disconnect from the power grid system, which could happen. But I think there's going to be. I just think that there's just going to be too much turmoil. And I think that the AI companies would rather, you know, buy the power generation themselves rather than let that happen.
Well, there's news from this morning that Trump is rumored to be about to slap a 15% tariff on solar panel imports.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's just like, oh, seriously, yet another thing.
God, it's like you imagine that this administration can't get any more of a clown show.
And then
the next day happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when you're trying to build a power infrastructure in your country, I mean, you even said it, Zach, deploying solar panels is literally the fastest way to power a data center. You can do that in less than 1 year versus a nuclear power plant, 10 to 15 years planning, permitting, building, whatever, right? Versus, you know, like gas turbines, like I said, the wait time, 5 to 10 years, depending on the capacity. Solar, 1 year or less, if you have a large enough field. And by the way, I have goats, and I found out that goats love to sit in the shade under the solar panels. So solar and goats go together. You can actually have ranching and solar. You can have dual use of the same land. Of course, there'll be less grass there, but they have space and they hang out in the shade under the solar panels. They love it.
What about koi fish? Do you have any like very large goldfish in a pond? I'm sure that would be a great place.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually, you know, there are beneficial uses for shade, right? Or partial shade. You know, you could grow crops between the rows of the solar panels where they're partially shaded in places like Texas and Arizona and Southern California. Anyway, there's a lot of ideas of using solar and still having food. You know what I mean? But Trump is going to make that. He's punishing America with more tariffs that I'm sure all his insiders knew in advance, you know, and they made all the right market bets beforehand. Insider trading gone crazy.
I mean, if it gets much worse, we're basically going to be begging, you know, Peter Thiel and Palantir to like get rid of this presidency. It's like, well, please, Palantir, at least you won't be bad as this clown show that we got running in the White House right now. Right. I mean, and it's funny. I joke about that, but I do believe that all of this is like with the Epstein files. I mean, look, like QAnon, we all know that that was some sort of weirdo military op. And they're the first ones to push, you know, Epstein. And sorry to go off on a tangent here, but I almost have this conspiracy theory that they actually want us to hate the United States. I know this sounds crazy, but they want us to hate the United States so that they can change the system really quickly, just in time for artificial intelligence to go exponential.
You're onto something. In fact, I want to ask you this very question. And maybe you've seen my post on this, but I have said AI technology is not in a bubble. AI investment could be said to be in a bubble. I have no question about that. But AI technology is leaping ahead, leaping forward every week. In fact, this Minimax H3 video generation model, Zach, I'm blown away. I mean, I downloaded it. I'm running it on a NVIDIA 6000 card. I've got 96 gigs of RAM. And then I see other people who have 8 gigs and they're running, you know, quant versions of this. They're getting really great video renders on 8 freaking gigs, man. Stuff that would cost a fortune on a platform 3 months ago.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's absolutely insane how good these things are doing. And the thing is that it seems like everybody's copying off of each other. Right. Which makes a lot of sense. Like they're like DeepSeek's distilling off of Fable. Right. And now they have a model. Now everybody can distill off of them. And we're entering into this sort of Star Trek world and this whole idea that, like, you know, we're in a bubble and it's going to pop like the tech or real estate, which was, I mean, those are speculation bubbles, right? Without real results. And at this point, it's like anybody that uses this artificial intelligence, that's a software engineer that I, you know, teach, their reaction is, oh my gosh, software engineering is totally cooked, aren't we? I'm like, yep, we're totally cooked. And so when people try to tell me that AI is in a bubble or AI in a bubble, I'm like, no. AI is not in a bubble. Your job is in a bubble.
Yes.
Your job exactly. is the one that's overvalued because, like, you're being taxed. You've got to pay rent. What does my AI have to pay? Like, you got to pay for the energy bill and that's it. No taxes. It's still doing work. Like, humans are totally cooked. And right now, like, we're going exponential. Like, it was going, wow, it's going really fast. Now it's going really fast. Like, I can't even imagine what this is going to look like in a year from now.
Oh,
like,
I know.
What just happened yesterday is that for the first time, I think it was like Fable 5 was able to test equal to like experts around the world in a deep subject, which is essentially the threshold of AGI. Like, before we passed the Turing test, now we're hitting the technical definition of what artificial general intelligence is going to be. And, you know, it's not even 2026. and this stuff is just going faster. So no, we are not in an AI bubble. We are at the very beginning of the fourth industrial revolution.
There's no question about that. Tom, what are your comments on this?
I have a question that I think backs right into this, which I think is kind of fun. OpenAI acknowledged that human supervisors monitoring isolated actions may be insufficient when a model operates autonomously for hours, days, or weeks. The good news is that a human is still in the loop. Unfortunately, the loop now contains 40,000 decisions per second. That could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. See, this is why I've got a plan to save humanity. I'm going to get the Neuralink. I'm going to jack in like Lawnmower Man or Tron. I'm going to go directly in the machine. I'm going to connect my brain to it so that I can receive $40,000. Because look, I've tried to save humanity on the keyboard. I can only type 60 words per minute, okay? I'm not that fast. Like, what happens if I have, you know, a gigabit fiber optic going right into my neural lace. So I'm going to go in. It's your neural only way forward.
Your neural what?
Neural lace. It's that.
I thought I heard neural ass.
No, the Neuralink, the Elon Musk thing. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, there was this thing about, like, oh, there's this, like, transhumanist agenda. It's like, no, there's an AI agenda. And the only way that we're going to be able to, like, tame this thing, because, like the elites are not going to be able to help themselves. Like, they're going to build billions of these nodes, right? We're going to eventually have as many AI agents as there are humans on this planet. And so, you know, how do you monitor all those things? Eventually you're going to have to jack in some volunteers into the machine so that they can get a closer to the hardware metal view of what the Matrix is doing.
Well, Lindsey Graham had a version of that, but you stick it in your butt and and all your decisions are shit. So that's the downside of Neuralink. It's kind of like
did you see that Did you see that interview with the tranny prostitute that gave him sex services and topped him?
No, but now that you mention it, it's going to the top of my list of things to see. I mean, come on. What is that? Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, there was this interview. So there was like this Reddit post a long time ago in trans, in the trans subreddit. And this person basically came out and said that Lindsey Graham had paid for sex services from them. They refer to themselves as she. And that, you know, and gave an overview of the text messages in which Lindsey Graham was looking for a top because he was a bottom, right? And I don't know if this is appropriate, but you can go ahead and just stop me, but I'm just going to go ahead with this. But
well, let's just say this is allegedly.
We'll
bracket it with the term allegedly from
allegedly
a prostitute, from, a sex worker.
Yeah,
alleges sex worker. Well, following.
They came out. They came out, did an interview yesterday, and they're talking about this. And
okay, but still a sex worker, right?
Yeah, sex worker.
Okay.
And transvestite. And apparently the person was like, I think you've got like genital warts, you know, around your butt. And Lindsey Graham was like, oh no, those are my ladybugs. So if you ever see the ladybugs in reference to Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, we've seen those references.
That's what they're talking about.
Oh my God, please no.
Wow. That is... Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I just have to make the call here.
Yeah.
You know, we do have the down the rabbit hole episode, you know, that subset. I think we need a down the bunger hole for this one to populate.
All right. Well, I have to apologize to our audience. This episode has gone way off the rails.
We don't even have an after party.
I know this, the whole thing has become an after party. Okay. Well, look, all of that aside, and I will just say that is allegedly, who knows, but there are a lot of such stories out there. The important thing for us to bring it back to reality here is that AI continues to advance even as humanity gets dumber and dumber, right? So that is the takeaway from today's show, especially in the Senate. They're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. The only reason I'm voting coming up is to vote against Ted Cruz, and I will vote for a robot instead of Ted Cruz. Like, I will vote for a squirrel instead of Ted Cruz. You know what I'm saying? The human senators are dumber and dumber. And Zach, I say, I want an AI senator that just, it's open source. I can see the thinking tokens. And we vote on the prompt. We vote on the prompt. Like, here are your priorities. Fucking follow what the voters gave you. I will vote for that AI senator.
Oh, that's brilliant, right? Like, you know, can you FOIA the internal system prompt of your representatives? Like, nope. Oh my gosh, think about that.
I know, because right? They're all answering to another nation or their donors or whatever. If we had AI senators and the thinking tokens were like a public record, it's on like senate.gov. Here's like Senator, you know, Bobby the robot or whatever. And like, you could read all the thinking tokens and it couldn't be bought off with sex or blackmail or Epstein files, because it doesn't ever get laid. It's a machine, you know?
Right.
That's why I you can't do worse than the humans we have in the Senate. That's,
I mean, what's for sure. The worst you're gonna find in these system props? Like a bunch of ladybugs?
Ladybug tokens.
Okay, that's it. That's it. I'm closing down the episode. We're out of time. That's it. Zach, thank you for your time today. Tell us about your websites. It's zachvoorhees.com, but also, what's the other site for the book?
It's googleleaksbook.com. It's got all the details about what Google's hiding in their skeleton closet. Also, catch me on x.com/perpetualmaniac. And if you see my tweets, you'll understand why I chose that handle.
Perfect. Perpetual Maniac, all one word. On X. So thank you, Zach. And thanks, Todd. Zach. It's been, we're going to have a talk after this show about boundary. You know who can teach us about guardrails? Dario Amodi. Yeah. Let's call Dario about guardrails. We need guardrails on this show.
Yeah.
Right. No, what? We can say our show escaped.
Yes.
And
right. After our shoulders started.
It got out of control. It's not our fault. We were hacked.
Mike Adams has no moat. That's basically
no moat. All right. Well, thank you, Zach. And thank you, Todd. Have a great rest of your day.
See you guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Zach Voorhees, everybody, with the Zach Adams effect. A little bit off the rails today. That's just a demonstration of what can happen when humans are running the show. So you know we're real. We're real. Check out all the other episodes at decentralize.tv and be sure to check out Zach's website at zachvoorhees.com. That's V-O-R-H-I-E-S. So thank you for listening. Take care.
Cheers.
If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Nessa's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, you know, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon 50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.